of one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a poor Cajun family that lived near the First Bayou Baptist Church in Mamou. Now, the pastor went to visit them and invite them to church services. Clotilde, the mother of five children, said, "Shab, we don't have any Sunday clothes. We're poor, so we need to stay at home." The pastor thought about it, went back to church, and activated the Women's Relief Society, and they got that family the most beautiful set of Sunday outfits you've ever seen. Next Sunday, the whole congregation of the First Bayou Baptist Church gathered at the door to welcome in this new family, but they never showed up. Disappointed, the pastor went to their house after the service and said, "Why didn't you attend church?" "Well, it's like this," said Clotilde. "We got dressed up in our fancy new clothes, and we done looked at ourselves, and we looked so good, we decided to go to the Episcopal Church." You know it's true. Jesus gives us a hard lesson. Is it really about what we're wearing? Is it really? We need to notice that this is actually two stories in one. The first is the king's banquet for his son. He invites people that know to come but don't, so he has to go out and get a whole bunch of replacements, if you will, to come in and fill the banquet hall. And then right in the middle of this are two strange verses, 6 and 7. Most scholars agree verses 6 and 7 do not belong in this parable. If you were to look at it, it would make some sense to you, especially if you were to read what it says and omit 6 and 7. The part where it says that he killed people. He burned their city down. You see, if the slaves were killed, verse 8 wouldn't make any sense because the slaves suddenly are resurrected again. Now, that shouldn't bother anybody. It really shouldn't, because that is how they did it in those days. They would take and look at a piece of writing, and a scribe or someone would insert it. Sometimes it was because, well, Jesus preached sermon number 32, and we're recording sermon number 52, and I think Jesus would have put this in that. Or, more likely, Matthew or Matthew's source is looking at this whole passage as an allegory. And these two verses complete the allegory. Now, swim with me for a moment in dangerous waters. Professor Thomas Long says succinctly, the king is God, the king's son is Jesus, the marriage feast is the feast of the revelations, Lamb of God, the slaves would be the prophet, those invited first would be the people of Israel. The violence that you begin to see in verse 6 is Israel's rejection of the prophets. And the part where the city is burned down in verse 7, the destroyed city is the fall of Jerusalem, the fall of the temple in 70 AD. The gathering of the good and the bad, that second group of people, that's the evangelistic mission of the church. In the wedding hall, that is the church. Now, I think the people of Matthew's day listening to this would have understood marriage. We get it. We know what a marriage service looks like. In those days, it was a little different. You see, when it came time to get married, they would have an entire year of betrothal. During that time, a new home would be made or a room would be added. The families would negotiate the dowries and to see how the dowries would play out. They would talk about how the families would work together. And then, at an hour the bride did not know, a day the bride did not know, Very biblical, isn't it? Very biblical. The groom would show up. The bride and her bridesmaids would be taken. And there would be a lavish party. There would be the bride surrounded by her bridesmaids. The bride and groom would exchange vows from the Song of Solomon. They would express their love to one another, and then there would be a 5 to 7 day party. The best wine, the best food, it was elaborate. People would not want to refuse to come to this. It was something. Now they understood that custom. So when Jesus is telling this parable, they didn't have to go back and rethink of the custom. Now, fast forward. We're in Matthew's time. Matthew is looking back on the parable, and he's saying, don't you get it? We're the replacements. Our church, the emerging church, you're it. The faithful rejected the prophets. The temple burned down. This is an allegory Jesus is using. But there's something strange in the middle of all this. I mean, maybe we can buy all of this, right? It makes sense. But what about this whammy in the middle of it? Jesus says the king recruits people from all over. The shopkeeper goes into the streets, finds those that would not be normally invited. So what do these people do? They got wedding garments in their backpack. They just happen to show up and voila, they're in wedding garments. An allegory. Don't lose me, swim with me. It's an allegory. One poor fool, a yahoo, shows up. He doesn't have a wedding garment. The king is angry. You nimwit, I've got gourmet artesian cheese. I've got an organic main course. I've got a rock and roll band for the reception. And you show up in shorts, cut off t-shirt, couldn't even manage to find a coat. Tell you what, the best men are going to take you out in the back alley and explain it to you. Where does this come from? Why is this in the middle of it? I think it makes sense if we understand it as an allegory. We need to understand that those invited knew the expectations, but they didn't come. They had known the Messiah was coming. But it wasn't a convenient time. They didn't come to the feast. It was too time-consuming. Others had spent many days at other weddings. Something come up. There was a ball game the night before. They didn't like the preacher. Didn't like the choir. Didn't like the music. Quite frankly, they didn't like who sat behind them. So they didn't come. It may sound familiar to some of us. And so, these new people, they came dressed. They were ready. It's an allegory, except for this one. The others came dressed in their wedding garment, their baptismal vow. They came as Christians, loving God, loving neighbor, loving themselves. They came as sinners, redeemed. An allegory, except for this one man who represents for all of us, that person that comes not to worship Jesus, not to be a part of the community, but simply comes. Thomas Long puts it this way about this parable. It reflects a traditional Jewish saying that basically means everybody gets called, but not everybody ends up worthy of it. Or in the context of this parable, God wants everybody at the party, but not everybody wants to come, or they don't know how to behave once they get there. Reminds me of a man who came to my church when I was a young priest. He had an earbud in his ear. String went down to his pocket, and I was preaching, and he said, yes. I got excited. I got him going. He said, go. I said, yes, I'm doing it. And then he said, touchdown. I knew he wasn't talking about the sermon. Afterwards, I had to catch him. And I said, next time, please choose worshiping Jesus Christ or listening to your ball game. But you got to make a choice. You can't do both. You see, today the banquet is set. The altar has beautiful chalices. The wine has been meticulously prepared. The feast is ready. The music is sung majestically. We have a feast. The presence of the living God is here. This is the banquet of the Lamb. And our wedding garment must be ourselves. We are dressed as sinners of God's own redeeming. We are dressed as baptized members. We are dressed as Christians. We are dressed as the forgiven. And all of us here, the good folk, the bad folk, the questioning folk, the assured folk, we're all here. We're here because God has invited us. And this is His banquet. This is His feast. The bride, the church, is ready for the bridegroom of Christ. And all He asks, is that we come ready to participate, wearing our wedding garment of loving our neighbor as ourselves. When we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord, respecting the dignity of every human being. That is the wedding garment. And so you have a choice. Come to the banquet. Just don't yell, touchdown.